Hello, everyone. Today is Wednesday, April the 26th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. We want you to help us keep this conversation going by supporting the show, sharing it online, sharing it with your friends and family, and leaving us a good 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify. We love to read those reviews. We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that.
For every star that I get in a review, I like to put a star on my fridge.
Yeah, just like a
like
little
star sticker. So like if you leave me a 5-star review, that's 5-star stickers that get to go up on my fridge.
Now think about this, y'all. Think about what he's saying to y'all. If y'all don't leave him that, if y'all leave him nasty little 1-star reviews, he's got to explain to his wife and children what a failure he is.
Yep.
Do y'all want that?
I don't think so.
Do y'all want that?
I hope not. I hope you don't want
that. Look at put the camera on Ryan. Look at him. Leave him a 5-star. Don't cry.
Sorry, I got sad about a 1-star review.
Read the verse of the day. This is silly.
Verse of the day today comes from Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice.
That's my thing is like a lot of times I get stuck in this this ritual of one prayer a day when I wake up in the morning and go on about the rest of my day and let that prayer just kind of coast. But he's saying, you know, I'll call upon God morning, evening, noon. I'm going to cry aloud. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And he's going to hear my voice. And that's the confidence that he has.
Yeah, I love the way that ends. And he shall hear my voice. I don't know if you've ever been this way, John, but there have been times in my life where I feel like my prayers are just like bouncing off the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Like they're not just making it to their destination. But this verse promises us that if we are God's children, God hears the prayers of his people. Mm-hmm. He hears when we cry out to him. Even if we feel like we are far off, God is there with us. And he hears our prayers and he is near to those, especially those who are brokenhearted.
I'm taking a class on the Psalms right now. And especially the Psalms of David, they're set up that way very intentionally, where you've got these couplets, these like rhyming, not rhyming, but these like two lines that go together.
Yeah.
And so as for me in my house, I will call upon God. That's what I'm doing. And the Lord's response, and the Lord shall save me. Then right back to the psalmist, evening and morning at noon, I will pray. And God's response, he shall hear my voice. Mm. So David's setting those psalms up, and the psalms are rife with that kind of stuff. And it's because that's the promise that God gives to us. That's the assurance that David wants you to take, is that you ask, he responds.
Yeah.
That's how it's always meant to be.
That's right.
Yeah. I had a question come in this morning. I had another question set up, but I saw this one this morning. I thought was kind of fun. Peter M., what are your summer plans?
Ooh.
The promise of summer is in the air, my friend.
It is. It's very close, very nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Is this for Dr. Shah or is this for all of us?
He just says, what are your summer plans? So,
okay.
I mean, I'll ask Dr. Shah at the end.
So, I mean, for us, there's a couple trips that we take with the church. Mm-hmm. My kids are going to summer camp
this
summer. That's very exciting, up in the mountains. Joanna, our fourth, I had to do that math real quick in my head, our fourth, she's actually old enough this year to go the week that the kids go. So we go 1 week as like the workers, as helpers, and the kids go with us. And then the following couple weeks, they have camp for kids. Mm-hmm. And so we send our kids, and our three oldest have gone. But this year, Joanna is old enough to go. So she's very excited about
that'll
that.
That'll be fun. Yeah. That'll be fun. And then, of course, we've got the sports camp here at the church.
Sports camp here at the church, where the kids up through fifth grade learn like the fundamentals of different sports. They have coaches that come in and teach them things like soccer and basketball and martial arts and all that fun stuff. But they also learn how to implement their faith in athletics.
Yep.
How to let what their belief in God, how that should inform sportsmanship and teamwork and things like that.
Yep.
Then of course, you know, vacation Bible school, and then there's several like back to school activities. Lots of fun opportunities this summer.
Yeah. Summer for on my end, it typically involves production. So we do our Christmas night of worship, then we do our Easter night of worship, and so that summer isn't this weird lull. We always ramp up productions in the summer. So a lot of productions in the pipeline. We have some writing projects happening with Dr. Shah. He's working with a lot of other academics, getting a book published sometime around July. We're trying to get another book published somewhere time around August or September, somewhere around fall. And we're getting the final stuff going on this summer. Duck John and I are working on that together. And then the worship team is actually recording an album this summer.
Yeah, very excited about that.
We got confirmation on the album. The production has already begun. We are well into the process of tracking. All the songs have been written. So we're doing tracking now. We're actually working with a producer. And I can share a little bit more about that maybe at a later time. But very, very good things on the horizon. First full-length album that we've ever done as a church.
That's so awesome. Yeah. I'm so excited to see that develop. And I mean, just to kind of watch you work is just, I mean, that's a privilege for me to just watch you plan it out.
Thank you.
So we're going to continue our conversation through Malachi today. We are coming to the end of the book of Malachi, and we're going to get Dr. Shaw in just a minute. But if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back.
Hey there, listeners. I'm John Galantis.
And I'm Ellie Galantis.
And we just want to take a quick second and talk to you about Dr. Shaw's and Nicole's book, 30 Days to a New Beginning, daily devotions to help you move forward.
You know, this is actually the second book in the 30 Days series. And the whole point of this devotional is to help us get unstuck from the ruts of life.
You know, when it comes to running the race of life, it matters how you start, but a bad start doesn't ultimately determine how you finish the race. You can have a good finish even with a bad start, and that's where this book comes in.
No matter who you are or where you are in life, you're going to get stuck. Instead of going out and buying some gadget or some planner, like I know I've done several times.
I know that's right.
30 Days encourages you to find your fresh start in God's Word.
Life doesn't have a reset button, but our God is a God who does new things. His mercies are new every day, which means every day is a new chance for you to start over.
You can grab 30 Days to a New Beginning on Amazon.com. We're going to leave a link in the description box below. And if you already have the book, let us know what you think about it.
That's right. Send us a text, 252-582-5028. Share what God has done in your life through this devotional. Hey, maybe we'll even read your story on the air. Ellie, you ready to get back to the show?
Let's do it.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and if today is your first time ever tuning in to the Clearview Today Show, we want to welcome you, let you know who's talking to you today. Dr. Abadan Shaw is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and host of today's show. You can find all of his work online at his website. That's abadanshaw.com.
That's right. Dr. Shaw, I have a question for you as we're getting started today. So those were all good, wonderful, great things that John just said about you. Mm. Wonderful, positive, uplifting things. Has anyone ever trash-talked you?
Trash-talked
me? Anyone ever said anything
just talk
like
junk, man?
Yeah, just run off.
Yeah,
off
I would
stuff.
Say yes.
How do you handle that?
Well,
the thing is,
when you're in a position of leadership or, you know, any kind of authority, you will have people who will trash-talk you. Mm. So if you don't want to be in a position of leadership, you don't want to be an influencer, don't worry about it. You know, it won't happen. You'd be fine. No trouble.
But it comes with the territory.
It comes with the territory. And when it first began to happen to me, I didn't like it one bit. Still don't. You know, I have to admit, after all these years, I haven't found the deep secret on how to handle that. Initially, it bothers me. Then I have to get into the mode of, okay, all right, I know what to do with this one. If it's real, genuine criticism that's going to help me, whatever, okay, I can work with that. You know, be my coach. I can listen to that. Even if you're not going to be my coach, but you have a valid point, I'll listen to that and make some changes. But if it's just, you're just a mean person, then at first I'll struggle, and then I will work it out and keep going.
I think that's helpful, and I think leaders need to hear that, because we tend to hear, I think, online and with other pseudo leadership figures in popular culture that stuff's got to roll off your back. You know what I mean? They can say whatever they want about me. It doesn't bother me because I'm plowing ahead. Well, either you're lying or you're a sociopath. And it's good to hear that, hey, we're human beings.
Yeah.
And harsh criticism that's unfounded hurts.
Yeah.
See, it's the laws of physics, okay? So if you punch somebody, you know, there is going to be a reaction. Either it's going to come back to you or they're going to be pushed back. So what happens is when people go through things like that, they either fight back with that person But if they're not fighting back, they are fighting with somebody else. Mm-hmm. They'll take it on family, friends, whatever. And so you have to say, are you doing that? Then you're not handling this mm-hmm. the way you pretend to be. Like, oh, it's just rolling off my back. It's not really.
Yeah.
It's rolling off your back onto someone else.
Mm.
So
that's a good point. And that leads into what we're talking about today. We're in this series on Malachi. We're talking about, you know, God's interaction with his people and the ways that God's people have been disobedient and complacent and apathetic and even sarcastic to God at times. Through this whole series, we've seen their responses and some of the things that they've said to God. I mean, we've been like, whoa, maybe you shouldn't talk to God that way.
It is odd that we read all these accounts in scripture where people do talk to God very flippantly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just a lack of fear because they're familiar with him or if it's just because they're God's chosen people. So they feel that there is that security. But I do sometimes wonder if we are blind to those own feelings that we have and we just don't externalize them. If that's maybe what's happening here, if the author is externalizing them or if these people are really saying to God's face, like, hey, you're not treating us right. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder where some of that boldness comes from. Mm. I say boldness kind of in a false sense of boldness. But.
Kids will be bold with their parents. Mm. They will say things to their parents. Now, there are those from that generation that you don't say a word. I get it. But even then, you know, kids talk back to their parents. Mm. Go back to the Bible, prodigal son. You know, he talked back to his father. Jesus probably overheard that. Or being God, he knew those accounts and he put it in there in his parables. So it in a sense it's wrong, but in the sense it's part of that relationship. But in that relationship, the parent has to remind their child, you can't talk to me like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That cannot be done. I mean, at some point, have you guys ever said things to your parents?
I wish I hadn't.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did that one time, you know, and now we're going back to the days of getting whooped. So, but I was grown up enough that I said things and I regretted saying that. But why did it happen? Why did I feel like I could do that? It's because of the relationship. You know, mm-hmm. you have a relationship with your parents and it's a sense of, I can do this mm-hmm. to you and you'll take it.
Yeah. I guess when there is that familiarity can sometimes work against you in the fact that you start to see yourself on a level playing field because we're so familiar.
Yeah.
And so now because I see us as equals rather than a parent child relationship, if I see us as equals, now I can start leveraging all the things that I do and mm-hmm. I'm not getting appreciated and I'm not getting what I think I deserve. Mm-hmm. So now that's my leverage that gives me almost a moral superiority over that parent figure, or in this case, against God.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's okay to have the freedom to talk to your parents, but in many ways, it's not. Like for God's people over here, they were complaining about God, about how much they were serving him and getting nothing for it. And when God heard them trash-talking his name, he confronted them. And that's what parents do, especially in this relationship. You know, you don't want a relationship with your parent where you don't say a word.
Right.
It's almost like a fear-based relationship. So it's fine that there is some, you know, well, wait, I mean, I don't understand why you would be upset with, okay, there's some healthy relationship, freedom there. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing. But it definitely crossed the line, and God confronted them. So he says in Malachi 3:13, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God.
Mm. It's like every chapter just gets worse and worse. It's like when someone hands you, it's like when someone's like screenshots your text messages and then circles what you said and then you see it and you're like, yep, I said that.
Yep.
I sure did.
What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? That means instead of repentance and instead of a sense of holiness, they're like, we're just bunch of grievers. We just walk around crying and it makes them happy. So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free.
Oh, this is like that when your kid like snaps right back at you and just like
without thinking
they're starting like, what about this? What about this? And you don't even do this. And you're like, Oh,
now, there's that's a how you're going to talk to me? That you can even talk back to your parents. So I do want to recognize that and in a sense even compliment that, that God allowed them to talk back to him. You know, that's his grace. That's his mercy. That's how he wants to have a relationship with us, but not a disrespectful relationship. Right. That's when he said, hey, you, I know you're calling me out. Why don't you? Okay, I'm going to deal with you for that. That you crossed the line there.
Yeah.
And while this is going on in verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. They didn't speak to God. They spoke to one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditate on his name. So
it's I think, interesting to see this dynamic coming out and being played out in real time where these people have said all these things and now they're hearing it spoken back to them. And I wonder what's going through their heads. And I think it kind of says it here where it says those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. I guess it's that subset where they're like, yeah, we really ought not to have said that. And it's also funny because I also see it as them as a people. So, you know, there's some in the crowd that's like, Lord, I never said that. Lord, I never said that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I know the majority of them might have said that, Lord, but not me.
I didn't say what they said.
But you are being held accountable as a people.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I can see that. It's like the little siblings who were like, I was in my room the whole time.
I didn't do
it. I was watching TV. I didn't see it happen.
So, you know, like little ungrateful children, they restated their grievances against God to his face. You know, so in chapter 1, verse 2, we already covered this. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Verse 7, this is chapter 1 still. You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? Chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? So these people had become so used to God that they were not afraid to talk back to him. Mm-hmm. It's okay to talk back in the sense of, God, I'm hurting and I don't understand what you're doing. Or, God, I feel like I'm righteous in this, but I don't understand what you're trying to say. But here in this situation, they just are just, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
Hurt us? Hasn't he done enough of that? That's the tone they're taking.
Yeah.
It's almost gone from just being, I'm hurt. And you're my dad, and I'm asking you, why didn't you catch me? When I was, you know, kids have done that, right? You know, when they fall, and they, you didn't help me or something. You were supposed to catch me, you know. And God's like, I was trying. Mm-hmm. You were over there. I told you not to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Those things God can overlook. But here, it is a sin of excessive familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
They had lost sight of the fact that, yes, he is your father, but he's also the powerful God of the universe.
That's right.
Mm.
That's right.
How about remembering that too?
Yeah, when your father is a king, then you realize that he's got sovereign responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And even responsibilities doesn't hold up to God's nature. But when he is the creator, he's the omnipotent everything, then his attributes do go beyond just what I need in this moment.
That's right.
Or what I need for my life.
Yeah. You didn't do this for me and the things that I need. So now I'm going to hold you responsible. Okay. Well, I mean, it's okay to have a dialogue with God. It's okay to speak to God and air out your hurts, but remember that he is God. Like he is the creator of the universe. There needs to be a level of respect there.
He is another, like the president of the United States, right?
Right.
If you were his son, okay, you can talk back to him. And he's your dad, so there's that relationship. But at the same time, he's also the president.
That authority doesn't go away just because of who you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Remember that. Or like Habakkuk 2:20, but the Lord is in his holy temple, that all the earth keeps silence before him. Zechariah 2:13, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation.
Wow.
Would you say that this excessive familiarity is something that people still struggle with?
Oh, yeah.
I like how you said it earlier. You said it was a sin of excessive familiarity. Mm. And I remember back during Easter when we were prepping for Good Friday and for Easter sunrise service about a month ago, I started to feel like I'm getting all these logistical things ready and I have not become excessively familiar, but I just kind of forgot for a day or so who it was that we were worshiping, you know, in all the logistics and the planning and the making sure that everything for this event, the sunrise service and this Easter service goes right. It's very easy to forget, like, there's a holy God that we're doing all this for, let alone everything going right. What are we doing it for?
Right.
And I feel like a lot of churches, especially around that time of year, can fall into that where it's like, oh, yes, of course, he's holy and we're worshiping him. Mm-hmm. That's why we want to make it go right. Yes, that's true. But don't forget the order that those come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if we want to dive in a little deeper in this, Malachi 3:13, it's actually, your words have been harsh against me. The Hebrew word for harsh is kazek, which actually means stout or heavy. So you can say, your words have been too heavy, too much against me. Remember that little girl who said that? Too much.
Yeah, yeah. I was messing around with a girl in the church. I was going, booga, booga, booga. And she was laughing. And then I did it again. Booga, booga, booga. She was like, oh, too much.
Too much.
Too much.
I was like, too much.
Okay, it's too much.
It means that the people of Israel were not only speaking against God and to his face, but they were also trying to force their words, their theology, and their false ideas about God upon him.
It's kind of like when you're trading blows, or you're like in a debate or whatever, and it starts to get personal, and it feels like an actual blow. It's like, okay, stop. That one hurt.
Yeah, that was too much.
That's too much.
That crossed the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so God confronted them, and they replied as expected. Their response is, what have we spoken against you? What do you mean?
What are you talking? We literally did nothing.
I literally didn't.
We didn't
if you
do
can tell
anything.
Me what I did, I literally didn't. He's like, that's what you did. He's like, okay, yeah, I did that one, but.
So God says, you have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, or that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, or for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. So basically, they're saying there's no benefit from serving God. Mm-hmm. You can do all you can to please him, but it doesn't matter. You can even walk around in all black. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. Mourners means kedar. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew word is kedar, means they're wearing these black robes. That's what people used to wear when they were mourning for the dead. So literally, the word is, the statement is, you can even walk around in all black to show your grief. But it doesn't matter to him. Mm-hmm. In fact, they were being sarcastic and saying, say hello to Mr. Proud, but Blessed and Mrs. Wicked are successful. They can even tempt God, and nothing will happen to them. But all we have to do is one tiny thing against him, and he'll send us off into exile.
That's a very human. I love the way that you specifically create these very human moments from characters in the Bible. Because when you just read the text as it is, like in our translations, it is very cut and dry. But then when we start talking about it, that's a very human reaction. Like, like there are people out there, you know, murdering people and. You know, stealing from stores and ripping off billions of dollars and extorting people. And all I did was literally lust after my neighbor one time. And now God is punishing me.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you also hear, like, I can't believe that God would bless so-and-so when he doesn't even go to church. He doesn't even do this. He's out gallivanting every single weekend. I'm here faithfully serving it. I'm the one that's struggling. That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm.
I would say a lot of people in church have that mindset. Mm-hmm. They may not admit it, but that's the mindset they have. I'm doing all this. Isn't that good enough?
Yeah.
Frankly, you're not even answering my prayers. Look at where my kids are, or look at where my money is, look at where my health is. You should be happy with what I'm doing for you, God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, as if you're doing God a favor.
And if I step one single toe out of line, I know that things are going to get even worse. And it's hard to watch people succeed when their input, as you perceive it, is not where yours is.
Right.
Yeah. And then in verse 16, it says, and those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Something has changed. Previously, God would have argued with the trash talkers and pointed out their fault and told them to make some changes. Not anymore. God is done with this group. Okay. He has decided to leave them to their own demise.
Oof.
And make no mistake, he will deal with them for their trash talking, but he's no longer going to work with them. So something is changing here. And I would add that's a very scary place to be when God just says, you know what? I'll let you do your thing.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Romans 1:24, therefore God also gave them over to their uncleanness. You know, that's a bad place where God says, okay, go ahead and do what you want to do.
That's not where you want to be when God just sort of gives you over and removes his hand, removes his direction on your life. He's like, do what you want to do. Okay. Fine. You know what needs to happen so well. Yeah. You go ahead and do what you need
that's
to do.
That's right.
I think that's the natural consequence. If you keep pushing that line and you keep overstepping and you keep overstepping, and God's never going to move that line of holiness, but his grace extends far beyond it.
Yeah.
You keep pushing back and you keep pushing back. And when you finally do cross that line, his reaction, that's scary. That's very scary where he's like, okay, now I'm completely removed from the situation. I'm done.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oof.
And God turns his attention to another group that's actually talking among themselves, and they fear the Lord. Now, keep in mind, the word is not fright. Mm-hmm. They were not afraid. The Hebrew word is yare, which means reverence, honor, and respect.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a sense of, like, I don't want to do anything to displease God.
Yeah.
He is so good. And I hope all of us will always remember that God is so good to us, much more than we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get the idea that we deserve this or we've earned this, and I have to remind myself that, especially on good days, nothing,
mm-hmm.
nothing, not a single thing I can say, ultimately, I've done it in my own strength and power.
Mm-hmm.
It's all because of God.
Amen.
And so, the fright, it's not fright, it's more of a, I just want to make God happy.
Right.
I want to make him happy.
That's right.
So these people here who kind of speak, talk amongst themselves and God listens to them, these are people who are doing what's right.
They want to please God.
Mm-hmm. Right?
They want to please God. They want to give him their best. And they're talking to each other. And what did God do? He leaned over and he began to listen to them.
Mm.
With the other group, he's like arguing back and forth, like a rebellious kid. You know, initially start out with, Dad, but you always like this. Or the daughter who, you know, who's become sort of familiar with her parent, and now she is standing up and she's arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, why is that a big deal? I mean, you think they're fine, but you talk like this to me. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of, that kind of a diatribe happening. But then, you know, it kind of becomes very disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Crosses the line, and, you know, God is now reacting to what they're saying and just unhappy with them. But then the other group over here who is talking among themselves of how good God is.
Yeah.
Mm.
God doesn't interject and says, let me talk to you guys. Let me just, you know, he just sits there and listens. It's like a good parent,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you feel you've heard a lot of negative against you, but then when you do hear something positive, you stop. You don't want to interact at all.
Right.
You just want to listen.
Because
if they're talking good about you, one of the siblings or children are talking good about you, you go, well, thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God is doing. And that, like, amen. A genuine parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a beautiful picture. Such a great picture of God as a parent. Throughout the whole book of Malachi, you could see him in that heavy parental role. We're going to continue this conversation on tomorrow's episode, but if you guys enjoyed today's topic, make sure you send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can partner with us financially on that same website. We ask that you would consider giving, partner with us, stand arm in arm as we seek to impact the nations with the gospel of Jesus.
That's right. We had a question come in this morning from Peter M. Dr. Shaw, what are your summer plans?
Summer plans? Who? You know, the family and I will probably end up going to the beach.
Nice.
Maybe here and there once, maybe twice. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that'll
we'll
be
see.
Fun.
Maybe a day trip.
Very cool.
And then I teach at a summer camp, a Christian camp. We've been going there for years and years, and they keep inviting me back. And I talk to little kids. That's the funniest thing. Because I'm like not gifted in that direction, but I go and I teach little kids. It is funny. They just sit there and listen to me. End of the week, like 10, 15 getting baptized.
Nice.
And I'm like, I have no idea how that's happening. Because I'm always like deep, and I talk about deep spiritual things and archaeology and apologetics. And they're like writing stuff down and drawing flowers. And at the end of the day, end of the week at camp fire, at the campfire, they're like, and Jesus spoke to my heart. And when Pastor Shaw was talking, and I was like so sad for my sins. Like, wow, you were listening.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That's awesome.
My kids go to that camp and they love it. They came back and showed me their notes from this year. They're like,
I know.
Dr. Shaw's going to come again next summer. So They're excited.
So we're looking forward to that.
Very cool.
And some writing projects coming
up. Nice. Very nice.
Love it. We love you guys. We'll see you next time on Clear Read Today.